You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
And that's it. Game three is in the books, with the Celtics falling by 7 to the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm James Holdus, a.k.a. Snotty Drippin. And this is the Celtics postgame show. It was a bummer. As you can tell, I'm bummed out a little bit. It's not what we thought we would see from the Celtics tonight. I don't know what to say. Let me get my co-host in here. Hey, Nick, what's up, man?
What's up, James? You survived the game?
This game was kind of, I don't know. I don't know if things are going to – we'll see how things go, right? It's not – still plenty of series left, but a lot of things that we felt during the season, at least I felt during the season, kind of reared their heads. And so, I don't know. It's just a bummer. This team has so much potential, and they're just – I don't know what's happening here, so – how do you feel about it?
Yeah, there's a lot that can be said about the team. I thought Kyrie was somewhat effective for most of this game. He had a decent, game on the box score, which of course on my laptop just took a dump, so I can't look at what his actual numbers were. But I mean, he looked good, especially in the first half. But it was just one of those games where you just didn't feel that intensity. And I covered post game after game two, after the blowout, 21-point blowout in game two up in Milwaukee. And I said, the Celtics are going to have to come out in game three, with a purpose. And who's going to be the emotional leader? Not just the guy that scores the points and says, hey, follow me, but who is going to be the guy that, takes the Marcus Smart, role of being that emotional, charge, that guy that gets, everybody going. And I love, and here I have Kyrie Irving's, stat line. I like the 29 points. I like the, 6 assists and the 3 rebounds. I don't really like the 8-for-22 shooting, and I didn't like a lot of the hero three-pointers and some of the things that he did. He got to the line, finally. I mean, that was one of the things that I wrote down they were talking about during the game. It took until literally almost the minute and 30-second mark, James, before Kyrie took his first free throw of the series. So we're talking about 48 minutes, and he didn't play all 48 minutes in game one, but there's 48 minutes in the first game, there's 48 minutes in the second game, that's 96 minutes, and then let's just say 2 minutes left plus 10 minutes, that's almost 108 minutes of a series that Kyrie Irving, a guy that can get past anybody, has some of the best handles in the league, one of the best finishes at the basket in the league, took his first free throw in this series. And then you look on the other end, and I think where I'm going to go with this, you see Giannis Antetokounmpo coming in here, scoring literally, and I'm not exaggerating here, throughout this series I've been keeping track of these stats. He's 22 of 50 from the field. Almost all of those from inside the three-point line. He didn't score a single, point outside of the basket or the free throw line tonight. And then has been 34 of 50 from the free throw line in this series. He was 16 of 22 tonight. He shot 22 free throws tonight. And there was one point, and I'm going to end my monologue. I won't go too long, James. I don't want to take up all this time. But you sit there and you listen to this, 507-year-old man, Hubie Brown, on the national broadcast, sitting there talking about how impressive it is that Giannis has taken nearly double the free throws that the Boston Celtics have taken. That's not impressive to me. I don't want to see that. I want to see a basketball game. And if I'm going to watch a basketball game, I want a basketball game that's going to be officiated like a normal basketball game. Watching this game, it felt like an NFL fan that turned on the XFL just to see what it was all about. And you see, people with nicknames on the back of their jerseys and doing crazy end zone dances, almost like arena league. This was not a basketball game, and I don't want to see Giannis Antetokounmpo taking 22 free throws. The turning point in this game was that third quarter when the Milwaukee Bucks got into the penalty with just under 8 minutes left to go in the third quarter, and the Milwaukee Bucks weren't hitting anything. Chris Middleton was ice cold. Eric Bledsoe was ice cold. They were ice cold. Then all of a sudden, in the penalty, whistle, 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 to the line, every single one of them. And these are professional basketball players. How many free throws does it take before one of them, or two of them, or three of them, or a whole bunch of them, as it was the case tonight, starts hitting their baskets from the field? And that's exactly what happened. The referees put the Milwaukee Bucks on the line. Well, the Celtics put the Milwaukee Bucks on the line, but I don't think this was called fairly. And I think they held the Milwaukee Bucks over. Competitive first quarter, competitive second quarter. Boston Celtics going to the half with a 1-point lead. I believe it was 56-55. And then 8 minutes left to go in the third quarter in the penalty, and the whole game, the whole tenor, everything switches. Jaylen Brown gets a fifth foul. He had like two or three just horrible fouls that were literally phantom calls. And I'm insulted by people like Hubie Brown telling me that it's impressive. Oh, look at Giannis going to the line for 22 free throws. That's impressive. No, it's not. He's getting every single phantom call, every single call he can get. Oh, it's impressive that he can go from the half-court line or from the three-point line to the basket in one stride. It's not one stride. He's taking three steps every single time. And I'm offended, not just as a Celtics fan, but I'm offended as a basketball fan. And I know you've been around basketball your whole life, James, just as I have. I coach a middle school basketball team. And I watch this, and I'm being told by somebody who's a Hall of Famer to be impressed by something that I know that's not even real basketball. And it's offending me to the point it's not even about the Celtics anymore. I'm watching something bogus on TV. And that's my tirade for now. I'm sure something else will come out later on, but that's all I can come up with. It's frustrating. And the Celtics, on top of it, played like trash throughout the entire game, just taking early shots in the shot clock that didn't do any favors for anybody in the team, didn't put any pressure on the Bucks at the rim whatsoever, and that was the game. That was the game.
So, yep, that's my man Nick Cicento. I'm James Holers. This is the Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio. Yeah, I mean, you're not lying. I have a different perspective on it. But before I give you my perspective, it's one to let everybody know this episode is sponsored by BetOnline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com / win. Use promo code CLNS50 for 50% cash back in your first deposit. So now that's out of the way, I'm gonna come up with a slightly different perspective than you have, because this is about stylistic difference. All season long, this has been like Jay King has pounded it, John Corrales has pounded it, a lot of people have pounded this, a lot of the Boston bloggers and writers and podcasts have pounded this. The Celtics don't attack the basket. They want to shoot jumpers. They're fine moving the ball and finding open threes and contested mid-range shots. They don't really attack the basket. And if a team doesn't really do that, to try to do it in the playoffs, all of a sudden you don't just hit a switch. At the other end, so, I mean, the free throw disparity is real. I mean, but that's, you said something when you're talking about Kyrie that kind of makes your point for you. He can get past anybody, and he has the best handle in NBA to get around anybody. And that's what Kyrie does. He doesn't drive to – He doesn't drive to draw fouls. Some players do that. He doesn't do that at all. His skill and his athleticism and his body control means he avoids people. And so for better or for worse, better because he gets to the hole, he can score. But he went 8-for-22 today. And today would be a great day for a guy like we see Dame Lillard do it. He puts his head down and he drops his basket. And he puts his head in your chest and he's not even really looking to score. He's looking to get fouled and get to the free throw line. That's not Kyrie Irving's game. At the other end of the spectrum, we know Giannis can't shoot. Giannis is faster than anybody his size. He's almost as strong as Al Horford or anybody else. So when he puts his head down and goes to the basket, he's going to draw a foul. He's so long. There's that one play against Marcus Morris where he kind of spun, and Marcus Morris had a pretty good defensive position, but he had his arm out at an angle, and so Giannis just brought that arm up under his arm and got the ball up on the rim and got the foul. And a lot of times, because he's just so long, when he spins and drives to shoot, even though guys might be playing good defense on him, and they jump to contest a shot and they smack his arm. because that's how long he is. So, I mean, we know Hubie can be kind of weird sometimes, but I think in this case, I'm going to say this, it's not really impressive. This is playoff kind of old school grind out basketball. You put your head down, you drive into the crowd, and if that guy's not standing still or the defenders aren't standing there ready to take it, guess what? They're going to foul you. And I get it. It seems like cheesy basketball. We know James Harden does the same thing, right, where he just puts his head down and he's looking to hook your arm and all this. Giannis wasn't even doing that. He was driving. Like, he had that one-on-one with Kyrie, kind of just bumped his hip a little bit. He flipped him out behind the backboard, but he reached his arm around and just laid it in. So my thing is more, like we said, it's more stylistic. Boston has kind of been, I hate to say this term because it sounds almost like an insult, they've been a finesse team all year. They don't just bust you in the mouth. The only one who's like that is our guy Jaylen Brown. Jaylen wants to run it and dunk down your throat. He's the only player on the team that's really like that. You know, Semi Ojeleye is a moving fire hydrant. Marcus Smart, too. I'm sorry. Marcus Smart and Mark. I'm sorry. What am I thinking? Marcus Morris will get down the post and play big boy basketball, but he likes to shoot jump shots, too. Marcus Smart, we know, likes to get physical. And we really miss him this series, I think, because right now, last two games, the Bucks have been the tougher team. The Bucks are putting their head down. The Bucks are defensively. I watched this, this is something I noted too. Right in that third quarter started, the Bucks really pushed the Celtics further up towards the half court line on offense, and they sped them up. Boston started kind of playing almost like a panicky kind of pace because Boston was really Milwaukee really pressuring them. And I saw Al Horford rush a three. You know, they just looked like you could see that the tempo was changed, and it was because the Bucks really started cranking up the pressure and the Celtics didn't handle it well. Our guy Kyrie had 13 points in the first quarter and then didn't score again until the third quarter, and he went 8-for-22 from the floor, you know. So, I mean, the scoring was there, but this is where the regular season does matter because you build good habits and you get comfortable together as a team. And right now the Bucks look more comfortable. They know exactly who they are and what they want to do. And we've said this all season. What are the Celtics? Right? And, you know, today Jason Tatum stepped up. Jaylen Brown didn't have a bad game. But, again, I don't know. It's a bummer to watch because I think Boston is a more talented team top to bottom. Giannis has been playing like the MVP, and I think this game kind of shows, hey man, it's any means necessary in the playoffs, and we don't have to like it. The plethora of free throws, and you could see the wind come out of the Celtics in the third when he started just attacking the basket and getting to the free throw line, and they ground the game to a halt. But that worked in Milwaukee's favor. You know, they went on a 12-0 run, they end up taking a double digit lead, and Boston I tweeted this, but Boston is letting go of the rope. And Boston never really reestablished themselves, and it is what it is right now. So the home court goes back to Giannis and the Bucks. Boston has to really look at themselves and figure out, you know, are we going to get out-toughed and out-physicals by this team? And right now, so far, in the second half of the last two games, they have been.
I couldn't agree with you more. There's more than enough holes to poke in the Boston Celtics strategy in this game. I think you're absolutely correct. In your description of Kyrie Irving's game, absolutely correct that his style of play is in. But the entire team that takes after Kyrie Irving is a finesse basketball team. Especially Kyrie Irving, avoids the contact on the drive when he does drive. He can get past anybody. He can get to the hoop, but his contortionist manner makes him want to avoid the contact. But even so, there's just only so much you can watch, and that third quarter was just one of those things where you just sit there and it's like, what am I watching? Imagine a football game where every single one of those whistles was a flag. I mean, nobody would watch it. Imagine, a baseball game where it was like, I don't know what the equivalent in a baseball game would be, but if every single, a strike was an argument between the ump and, the manager or something. It's like, it destroys it. And to me, what I saw, and if I'm looking at a bigger picture, if I was a betting man, I would have bet before the playoffs. But watching the way that Giannis is getting the treatment, because it's not just you know, the plethora of free throws. Anybody going to the line 22 times to me is, I mean, that's insane. And I know Giannis attacks the basket, but Giannis also travels a lot. Giannis also drops his shoulder a lot. Giannis also uses his elbow to push off a lot and get that space. Giannis also does a whole lot of things that he doesn't get called for. And what this type of game to me shows me is that Giannis is the MVP. And this is the NBA right now saying, you know, it doesn't matter that, you know, it's not an exciting, you know, that Giannis had whatever he had. What did he have, 32, 30, you know, 4-something points, and nearly half of them came at the free throw line. It doesn't matter because fans are going to forget, you know, by the next game, you know, exactly how Giannis got his points, unless you're like me and you're actually keeping track of these things. Fans are going to forget. All they're going to remember is they're going to say, Giannis had, oh, did you see that game Giannis had where, you know, the Celtics couldn't stop him. He scored 30-some-odd points. I can't pull my box score, but whatever 30-some-odd points he had a bunch of them, and nearly half, I don't think.
Yeah, 32
points, okay. 32. Is 32 even that impressive, though? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, this is the NBA showing you the MVP. They want their MVP, and this is what they get. This is what you get. This is the product. They're forcing Giannis on you, and the commentary from the people that are broadcasting the games for them that are licensed by ESPN. I guess the game was on tonight because it wasn't on TNT. I don't know. Yeah, must be ESPN because I saw Jalen Rose and Paul Pierce before the game. This is who they're paying to tell you. The NBA, more than any other sport, is about narrative. And this is the narrative that they're telling you now. He's the Greek freak. He's always been the Greek freak. But, oh, he added some 40 pounds. You know, look at his guns. Look at his muscle. You know, this is the product that they're putting forward for you so that Giannis Antetokounmpo can be justified when he gets the MVP. It can't be the Celtics. They won game one, and the Celtics somehow win game two and destroy the Milwaukee Bucks, and then at the end of the season, there you're handing the trophy, the MVP trophy, to Giannis. Even though the voting, I believe, is done before the playoffs for those things, you still have to, then in that situation, it's about making the product on the court fit the narrative. And I'm not saying that anybody's fixing games, although it wouldn't be the first time in the NBA now, would it? But I'm saying that the referees, the league hands down white papers. They tell you, hey, this is things to keep an eye on. These are things to look out for. This is what, you know, you're going to be focusing on in this game or that game, whatever. This is the league, to me, showing you this is Giannis Antetokounmpo, and look at all the fantastic things he can do. And I think he's a fantastic player. He's the best player on the court in this series, without question. He's the best player on the court. He's the most unstoppable player on the court. But if he's really the MVP and he's really that unstoppable, why does he need to take 22 free throws? On a lot of things, it could be 50-50 calls or, you know, calls that wouldn't get called for most other players. And that's my only question. I don't want to make it all about the refs. The Celtics played terrible. If I see another dribble drive into the paint only to jump past it to, you know, with the weak, sloppy pass, I wrote down on my paper, if you want me to criticize the Celtics instead of talk about the referees, poor spacing in the first half. This is before I just stopped taking notes because it looked like the Celtics, like you said, let go of the rope. Sloppy ball handling. Sloppy passing. I didn't like Kyrie's early reads, even though Kyrie got some nice shots, dribbled into traps a whole lot. There were a couple of times in this game where Kyrie had the ball with, you know, five seconds in the shot clock and got trapped or got, you know, stuck into a corner off on the baseline and either turned it over or couldn't get a shot off. So, you know, tons of stuff in this game that you know, you can criticize the Celtics for. Too many early shots in the shot clock. There was a lot of passing, and I liked, you know, like I said, I didn't like the reads as much. I like to see Kyrie passing, but I don't feel that sometimes when Kyrie goes into, you know, dribble drive pass Kyrie mode, that's really Kyrie playing within the system. I think that's just Kyrie trying to get other people involved because that's what he thinks he's supposed to do, as opposed to that's the way that it works. You know, that's just the way that it flows when it's flowing naturally like it did in game one. And this game never felt natural. This game felt, you know, it was competitive in the first two quarters, but it never really felt like the Celtics were taking control, except for that one moment. And I don't know what it was about, why the Celtics suddenly dropped off. But Kyrie was out of the game, and the Celtics went up by like 12 points there in that second quarter. Maybe it was the end of the first quarter. And then after that, it was like the Bucks came right back, and the third quarter happened.
Yeah, and even in the third, so Boston had a, you know, they had a couple nice little spurts. Semi was hitting threes. They looked really competent for most of the game, but it concerned me that they were playing decent and they just couldn't pull away. And then, like you said, they went the Bucks towards the end of the quarter. they were wearing Boston down. They were getting those, you know, just the, they racked the free throws up. I'm looking at the numbers now. So, yeah, Boston as a team shot 32 free throws, and the Bucks as a team shot, you know what? They shot 36.
36.
But honestly, you know what? I saw this, you know, I kind of noted this. A lot of Boston free throws came when they were already down like 17. So
yeah, at the end of the game, it was at the end of the game,
yeah,
and that's what they do. They'll call those fouls that they weren't calling in the earlier in the game when the game is already in hand. It's garbage time. They'll call a bunch of those trash fouls just to make the numbers look decent, like 36-32. That's exactly what it was. It's a narrative. If I hadn't seen it so many times, Snotty, I wouldn't be on the air right now sounding like a conspiracy theorist, but I've seen this so many times in games where they do exactly this thing for exactly this type of player. Giannis is just baby LeBron. He doesn't have the jumper yet. He doesn't really have, you know, quite the post moves, but he has the power. He has the speed. He's more athletic than everybody else. He's a physical freak of nature, and his game is going to come to him, and he's going to be unstoppable at some point. He is the heir apparent to me to LeBron James in terms of the way that he's playing right now, but he's getting those calls already, and maybe it's time. He's been in the league for what, 6 years now? I guess maybe it's time for Giannis to get those calls, but I mean, geez, for Kyrie not to have a single one, and Kyrie, I mean, even if he contorts his body and tries to avoid, you know, contact, you know, Kyrie still goes to the basket and still takes some bumps. There were several non-calls on Kyrie in this game where Kyrie was getting battered at the basket, and I mean, as a player, That happens so many times without calls, and then on defense, so many back. You know, it takes teams that aren't completely there together anyway mentally, that maybe have a question mark mentally, and I think we all know that this Celtics team, if there was one question mark for this team this year, it was mentally. Teams that don't have that, you know, that hardcore resolve, that grit and resolve, like 100%, they're not 100 with it. That type of thing takes teams out of the game, and that's exactly what we saw from the Celtics after, you know, after that third quarter happened. You could see it in their faces after the, you know, the nth, you know, foul on Jaylen Brown that was just a bogus call. It was just kind of like, you know, like, you know, you could see the posture just changing.
I'll say this, Jaylen did commit the charge, and I said this too. To me, a pivotal part of the game was when Jaylen committed the charge. And then the bad foul on Bledsoe that the ref called it late, like 4 or 5 seconds late. And, you know, Budenholzer was yelling at him to call. It was a foul. Let's be real. It was a foul. Yelling him in the face with a little bump. And it was a foul. The ref wasn't going to call it. And I don't know what took him so long to call it, but it was a foul. And it's a bad foul by Jaylen. Jaylen did not have a good defensive game today. He had a nice block. But other than that, he got blown by Bledsoe. He, you know, the bad fouls. He wasn't bad offensively. How did Jaylen do today? He was, you know,
18 points.
18 points. Yeah, it's fine. Negative, you know. In fact, yeah, he was plus 10. So he had a good game. I'll take that back. He had a good game. But just those little mistakes, man, the fouls. He fouled out and just bad timing with the fouls. And, like, that the charge. Why are you – I get it. You want to attack opportunistically. Eric Bledsoe has the quickest feet in the game. You guys are getting a little momentum. You don't have to attack right then, you know. And he's learning still. I love Jaylen. He's learning. So
he dunked on Giannis. Yeah. I mean, Giannis is just like his poster partner right now. I mean, how many dunks does he have on Giannis now? I think I have like three wallpapers of now of Jaylen just, you know, laying it down right on top of Giannis. I mean, that's one thing. I guess you can take good thing from this game.
I care more about that than one, right? Like that's. And this is where the Celtics have to show a little more resilience, because there were several points in the game where you felt like they were taking momentum and they were getting it in their stride. And Milwaukee would just either, you know, well, not either. Milwaukee would just ride it out and just not let them, you know. And Milwaukee stays more even keel throughout the game. Even when they're not playing great, they, you know, they just run their sets. They know what they're doing. They had great production of their bench today, which that to me was the key. Because today, Kyrie
Connaughton,
was
Jesus Christ.
Hey, George Hill had 21. Connaughton had 14.
Yeah.
Even Ilyasova with his little quick five. That's right there. That's the story, bro. That's the story. 35. 40
and on the reverse side, how bad did Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier play? I mean, Terry Rozier was one of the few Celtics in the plus and plus minus, but 0 points. I mean, his shot was just flat and terrible, Terry Rozier. And Gordon Hayward just, he just looked scared out there. I mean, he tried to go up a couple of times, but that wasn't the same, that wasn't the Gordon Hayward that everybody thought we were going to see in the playoffs and that we saw, I think, in, you know, the Indiana series. That was, you know, the tentative kind of, you know, not as fleet-footed, not as, you know, just not ready to, you know, to run out there, Gordon Hayward. Maybe the fatigue of, you know, now how many games into the season is this now? This is what, the sixth game of the playoffs, or the 88th game of the year. I know Gordon Hayward is, you know, didn't play all 82 games of the season, but I mean, an 88 game you know, return after missing that season. Who knows? You know, who knows what it is? But it didn't look like.
We know it is with Gordon. So much of his game is built on his confidence, and you can tell when he's feeling good about his body and he's attacking and he's confident. Well, I guess last game maybe shook his confidence a bit. So I think health, physically he's fine, but you could just, like you said, like that first game he was putting little pull-ups, he's hitting little runners off, you know, one-hand runners, and he's just taking these little shots and he's getting in the pockets of space and he's making buckets. Two things. One, he's less confident, and two, I'm gonna tip my hat to the Bucks. They played with more force this game. They played with more aggression, where those pockets of space weren't there. An 18-footer wasn't wide open. Gordon Hayward couldn't dribble to a wide open 18-footer because the defender was right on his back, or they closed down hard on the front. Kyrie, like we talked about Kyrie, let's go back to Kyrie with those drives. You know what? In the regular season, he'd get those calls, and it shouldn't be like that, right? Regular season, whatever. But they also he got swallowed up. When he's driving the way he's driving, this is happened to a lot of Celtics today. We saw it. They would beat their man and just kind of think, okay, I got the layup for dunk. Milwaukee's not giving up on those, and Giannis is meeting them at the rim. Or Bledsoe is meeting them at the rim. So, like, I get it, man. You want those calls. And Kyrie, I think, has earned those calls. But when they don't get, like, I didn't think it was egregious because, you know, any contact was maybe after the shot was already away. And I hate when they call that call. Like, say a guy goes to layup, I block the shot, but then, you know, we bump and tumble on the ground and you call a foul on me. I don't like that.
Yeah,
you know, and I would love to have it today. I'd love to have it today, but it is what it is. Kyrie drove, he beat his man, and then, like, Giannis is towering over and is blotting out the sun, you know? So this, again, I'm not going to blame this loss. You know what? Another pivotal thing I saw in the fourth when the Celtics were trying to cut the lead. Brad Stevens kept Al Horford and Jaylen Brown on the bench too long. He kept them on the bench too long. And that by the time they brought Al back, they kind of started chipping away, but then the lead had ballooned back up to like 17. They brought Al, so that was too late then. And that's a Brad Stevens, that's just a faux pas on his part. So,
and I don't think it's the first one either. I've seen a few instances where, you know, he's been better with some of his timeouts. I know there were issues during the season with his timeouts and the timing of his timeouts, but I haven't liked some of his rotations either. I just thought it was interesting. Like, you know, the Celtics went on that big run, and I believe it was the second quarter where they went up early in the second quarter where they went up by like 12 points, and they did it, you know, without Kyrie. And I mean, I wouldn't say don't put Kyrie back in the game, but then they take out Marcus Morris, who was really the spark plug. And I'm going to go ahead and say that I think Marcus Morris has been, you know, aside from the fact that, you know, Kyrie has had a couple of, you know, decent games statistically, game one and game three were really solid. Marcus Morris has been the guy that's really been, you know, just putting up the steady, you know, whatever it is. I can't name you his stats for every single game, but, you know, 18 points, 16 points, you know, 15 points.
No,
he's just been there. And hitting timely baskets, hitting timely threes that have given the Celtics a chance. He's not a guy that's going to be able to put the whole team on his back and do it for you, but he's given the Celtics opportunities in these games. I really didn't like the lack of aggression. I think, you know, that to me has been something that I don't like about the Boston Celtics. I think, you know, Jaylen Brown is one of those few guys that likes to attack the basket, but, you know, and I said it during game two, the Boston Celtics had a similar situation to the Milwaukee Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks had in the third quarter of the game tonight. The Celtics were in the penalty early. I believe it was probably the third quarter as well. Maybe it wasn't the third quarter because that was a big blowout. But they were in the penalty early, and instead of attacking the basket, it's just like, I'm just going to dribble, you know, and there's you know, 16 seconds left on the shot clock. Boom, just pull up for, you know, a semi-contested or, you know, like one of those little off the pick, you know, three-pointers. And they're just not falling. And when your shots aren't falling, you have to attack the basket, and especially in a situation like in Game 2, and as we saw the Milwaukee Bucks take advantage of tonight in Game 3, when you get in a penalty and you get there early, you have to force the issue. You have to make the referees blow that whistle. Yeah.
Just head down and force the issue. But you know what? Like I said, it's been a problem. I think Boston had, like, I don't know the exact stat, but I know they were in the bottom third of free throw rate this year as far as how many free throws they took.
27th, I think they said.
They were down. They were one of the worst teams, even though they're probably one of the best free throw shooting teams. So, like, it's frustrating, man. It's frustrating that I think on the broadcast they said like 75% of teams that win Game 3 win the series. And right now, the first game gave me a glimmer of hope. Like, Boston has kind of put together. The last two games show me that either Boston hasn't put together, and like we're just seeing some of the same issues from the season rear their heads. You know, quick shots in the shot clock, just bad shot selection. It's crazy because in the first half, they trusted the hell out of each other. They moved that ball, you know.
Yep.
Second half, it became a lot of individual ball and just, you know, bad turnovers. Like, it's not even – you said the word, I think, urgency, right? Like, they just didn't play with any – yeah, they didn't seem like they played – they played with a lot of confidence early, but Milwaukee, I just had the feeling Milwaukee was more energetic and kind of – I hate to use that term, it's not so cliche. They wanted it more. So, hey, real quick, we're going to take a minute plus pause as we're going to run this commercial for the people.
Today's episode is powered by BetOnline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit.
When it's time to make a hire for your small business, of course you want to find the best person for that job. Well, the odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to get matched with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and what they're looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn Jobs to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. LinkedIn goes further. They include skills and background, interests, activities, and passions. This way, you'll get the most relevant and qualified candidate early on in the process, and you can spend more time on candidates you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in developing quality hires. So listen up. Post a job today at linkedin.com/garden and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/garden. Terms and conditions apply.
So,
boom shakalaka.
Boom shakalaka. If you just joined us, Boston followed 116-123 to the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks reclaim home court advantage, and the Boston Celtics are looking for answers. I'm looking at the box score. I mean, 220-point scores for the Celtics. Three more guys with 16 or more. That's Marcus Morris, only took 8 shots and scored 16. Big Al Horford took 8 shots and scored 17. And Jalen had 18 points, made 3 three-pointers. And other than that, you know, Gordon off the bench had 10 points. But I think some of those free throws were garbage time, and he didn't really play well. And I'm looking, and only Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown were net negatives this game. Everyone else was
positive.
Nothing.
Positive.
Yeah, I'm sorry, was net positive. Everyone else was negative, or, you know, I think like Daniel Tyson, 3 minutes, was neither. He was a zero. So I know, you know, single game plus minus doesn't tell you, like, too much, but this one tells a story. You know, the team just – no one came in and really made a big impact on the game, you know. It's crazy that, you know, and then the fact that Jaylen Brown was plus 10, says a lot, because I love Jaylen Brown, you know that, and he had kind of a disappointing season, you know, in a smaller role, but now they give him back a starting spot, and he's really kind of rested, like he reclaimed that and he's holding on to that. He's looking like the player that we thought he was. I'm glad Jason Tatum had a good offensive game. And defensively, I thought he was pretty good today too. But Giannis is such a load, man. And anybody but Al Horford on Giannis was just basically a bucket or free throws. And even with Al on him too, you know, he made it happen. So Giannis made it after game one. He said it. He said, I don't think we played with the right amount of energy, you know, excluding himself. And I think the last two games, I kind of see what he means. We don't have to like it. It's good basketball. As far as you're trying to win ball games, you have a guy who can put his head down and get to the rim. You know, let's go back to even to the days when Mike was the man. Like, that's how he scored a lot of points. He got his free throw line a lot. You know, and when you can't, your shots not fall, when the elite player shots aren't falling, that's what they do. They look to draw fouls. And it's, you know, we don't have to like it, the kind of game, the system, but it is what it is. And Giannis has look, he's like 7 foot. You know, he's strong as an ox. And there's a lot of contact. That, you know, they let guys be physical with him. But when he says, I'm going to score, you're not going to meet him at the rim. And Boston kind of – this is where they slipped up. That whole build the wall thing is great, but they let the shooters get loose, and then they started kind of maybe waffling and equivocating instead of still building that wall. And so then now Giannis is playing, you know, downhill, and he's getting downhill against one guy. So it's either are you gonna trap Giannis and bottle him up and give the shooter shots, and Boston tried to do kind of both. They try to bottle him up, and then kind of like, you know, they loosen that trap, they loosen that a little bit, and now shooters got loose. So, what do you see? What changes would you like to see in game four?
I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think Aaron Baines must be hurt because I think I saw him for a minute in this game, and then he was out. I don't know what the adjustments are. Maybe, you know, one of the things that surprised me, and I think that it's going to be – well, there's multiple thoughts in my head, you know, at the same time. I think one is going to be even more problematic because it looks like Brogdon is coming back either the next game or within the next couple of games. So the Boston Celtics job is not going to get any easier. Two, I'm surprised. I remember the Nikola Mirotic played for the Chicago Bulls now, didn't he? And he had a big old beard. That was back in the day. That was Nikola Mirotic now, wasn't it? And this guy looks like. I remember Nikola Mirotic as being, you know, and didn't he play? No, that was Omar Asik. Never mind. But Nikola Mirotic, I remember him being kind of like more of a lumbering dude. And in this game tonight, he impressed me with his speed. And I think that their ability to close out the Milwaukee Bucks, their ability to kind of, you know, get, like you said, Gordon Hayward didn't have those 8-foot holes, you know, that he could drive a Mack truck through to get to the rim. They were closing out better. Brooke Lopez closed out better. Nikola Mirotic closed out better. Ersan Ilyasova, that's it. Even had some decent defensive possessions in this game. The Boston Celtics, listen, Brad Stevens, he has to find some, and it's not going to be Semi Ojeleye. I think he may have even gone with Semi a little bit too long in this game. I like the two threes that Semi gave you, but, I mean, what else did he do besides a couple of fouls? Because whatever worked against Giannis last year with Semi is not working this year, because either Giannis is just a whole lot stronger, and I think that's not necessarily a whole lot stronger than Semi, just a whole lot stronger than last year, and probably stronger than Semi, definitely longer, so he has the advantage there. Like you mentioned, that length just gives him so much advantage that if, you know, Semi or whoever's guarding him isn't in the exact right position and with their, you know, feet set and their arms straight up without any type of angle, it's going to be a free throw for Giannis. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what singular adjustment Brad Stevens can make for this series. I'd like to see maybe a little bit more Baines and just commit to it. I mean, if Baines can stop shooting threes, he doesn't need to do that. I think that's all he did in tonight's game, was he came in, shot an ugly-ass three, and then sat his ass back down on the bench. I'd rather see, you know, Aaron Baines, you know, being physical. This series is clearly physical. The Milwaukee Bucks cried after the blowout in Game 1 about how physical the game was. They cried after blowing out the Celtics in Game 2 about how physical it was. And I guess they can – I don't know if they're going to cry again after tonight's win, or if they'll finally be content that the referees are not trying to job them, because it's pretty clear they're not. But the Celtics, to me, like I said earlier – the issue with this team has always been one of mental, you know what I'm saying, fortitude. And I don't know if this Celtics team can steal its resolve. I don't know what other cliches I can use, you know, but it's going to take a, you know, this is it, guys. We can't lose another game because we're only down one game now. We can still get something done. And if they don't have that person that's going to not just go out there. And Kyrie, and that's always been my criticism of Kyrie. He can light up, you know, hit some of the most beautiful baskets. He has some of the most beautiful handles. He makes some of the most beautiful plays. But on the court, his demeanor is sometimes just too aloof. He doesn't get into it enough to trigger the rest of his players. So somebody, because it's not going to be Marcus Smart, he's not coming back next game, I don't believe. I haven't heard anything that suggests that Marcus Smart is coming back in the next game, but there has to be somebody.
I just read that Smart is going to go full contact practice on Sunday, and that's like the last step. So if he can go full contact practice and I guess things go well, we might see him next game.
When is the next game? The next game is on Sunday. Is on Monday, I guess. Yes, Monday.
It should be Monday, right?
God, they stretch these things out like crazy, man.
That's a good thing, though, because it gives like that's why I'm kind of mad we didn't see more Al Horford. I know he had I think he had foul trouble. He had four fouls. That's why they probably. But still, I mean, you got to balance. Hey, either we have him in and we maintain the game, and he gets another foul or two. Or we sit him and we fall behind by 17. So the good thing is, Al played 37 minutes tonight, right? And this is why they rested him all season. And now with the big, you know, days in between each game, you can ride out. But it's, it was a disappointing game because this was definitely a game that, until the end of the third quarter, a lot like last game, Boston was kind of, you know, they're right there and they're at home, the crowd's going nuts. And then to hear the crowd just kind of go quiet, you know, at the end of the game, the air come out of the building as Milwaukee they just did what they do, man. Chris Middleton, that to me the real game breaker was that when Chris Middleton did the no pass, come up, dribble, 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 Gordon Hayward's on him, shot clock's running down, and he shoots a 35-foot three, you know, under pressure. Like Middleton just loves to see the Celtics, man. It's insane.
He does. He does. You know, he's been impressive. He's been impressive. I made the mistake before the series of saying that Chris Middleton and Jason Tatum was a push. I was absolutely wrong about that because, I mean, Jason Tatum had a nice night tonight, but overall in this series, Chris Middleton has been, you know, I mean, especially that game two, there's nothing that Jason Tatum has ever done that I think compares to what, you know, Chris Middleton did to the Celtics in that game two. And I remember the games that he had throughout the season and last year in the series. So, you know, and Jason Tatum just isn't consistent. He hasn't been consistent this year. I think that's been one of the issues with a lot of these guys that are adjusting to their roles. I don't know. There needs to be somebody with the heart. I think it's very difficult to have a team where the statistical leader, the guy that, you know, that hits the big shot, that's expected to hit the big shot, the guy that's expected to, you know, put the team on his shoulders in terms of the play on the court is not the same guy that's going to be your, you know what I'm saying, your rah-rah, you know, heart and soul, grit and balls leader. And that's clearly the situation with the Boston Celtics.
Look at the Warriors, right? Steph is the, you know, Steph or KD, you can say he's one of the best players. Dre is that heart and soul. So that's where this is where the Boston Celtics miss Marcus Smart because he's their version of Draymond, right? He actually gives, like, when you put him on the floor with Kyrie as the point guard and you can unleash Kyrie as a scorer, and Marcus Smart is really a point guard, right? Rozier is not a point guard. I hate to say, people think he plays point. Yeah, but he's a scorer. He wants to score first and foremost, Rozier does. He doesn't make good reads. He's not a great passer. Marcus Smart he's excellent in the pick and roll. He finds shooters in the corner. He can control the tempo and the pace, and then he can guard at the other end, everybody on the court. So this is where, you know, I've been hearing a lot about Malcolm Brogdon, not very much by the national announcers on Smart, but, you know, they miss Brogdon. The Celtics miss the hell out of Smart. This is where they miss Marcus Smart. I don't know. So let me see. When's game? This game four? Monday. So yeah, they. I'm just looking right now, and yeah, Milwaukee, they outscored Boston 40-31 in the third. And surprisingly, that they played them. You know, Boston actually outscored them by one in the fourth. So Boston, yeah, the game, obviously, we know the game was close all the way except for that. Again, it's the third quarter, the pivotal third quarter. The Celtics cannot. I said it. I saw them letting go of the rope when that lead got up to 12 late in the third. And they were just, you know, like, you know, there's that one play when Terry Rozier just came and shot a pull, a mid-range that just barely nipped the rim. When Kyrie missing that three, there was that one three. He was saucing Eric Bledsoe, and they ran the screen. And both, there was a miscommunication, and both kind of gave him that pocket of space top of the key. And Kyrie just had like a, he had like 3 seconds sitting there look at it. He took a three and it just rimmed out. And that, those are the shots and the plays that the Celtics have to make. That one, there was a play when Al Horford, I think Jaylen Brown, went for the rebound and tipped it from each other and gave what's the guy, George Hill, a layup. Like, ball fell into his lap. That, those are the plays that when you play the right way and with the right energy and you bring the consistent energy, like, that's
why. Well, Connaughton
what,
got in the middle of that play. Connaughton got his hand on that ball, so.
No. I mean, he might have tipped the first one, but the last two people to hit that ball were two Celtics. And instead of one person saying, I got this, and so, yeah, Connaughton, I think the initial scrum, he jumped in there too, and he did a great job on the boards too. Yeah, he played a great game today. He had 7 boards to go with his 14 points. So, but, and I'm not blaming those guys, right? It happens in the game, but it seems like that kind of thing happens at the wrong moment for the Celtics. You know, like they played great defense. And then Eric Bledsoe's dribbling, trying to, you know, the clock's running down. He's dribbling the wrong way, away from the basket, and he trips over Jaylen Brown's foot. And it's a foul. You got to call that. Jaylen Brown, he didn't mean to do it, but it's a foul, you know, and it happens as the shot clock is running down. That's the kind of play that really just – I don't know. So any thoughts about game four? I mean, here's my thoughts on game four. I'll give mine first. So Kyrie has to be more efficient. He can't go 8-for-22. You know, it's better than last game where he was, 4-for-18 or whatever, but you can't go 8-for-22. Kyrie has to find a way to get up more. They got to find a way to get Kyrie more and better three-pointers. Kyrie is too good of a shooter to only get 8 threes up. All right, and that's, you know, it's funny because all we heard before this series was how the Bucks give up the most three-pointers, you know, and this is what Boston wants to do. So, yeah, I mean, Boston got up 40 three-pointers. But we got to find a way to get more for Kyrie as probably the best shooter on the team. And we got to get – and Tatum has to start hitting his threes. He got some good looks, and he's over 5. So this is what people – you know, Jalen Rose said it. We want to see what happens when this team has to deal with some adversity because Boston all year long hasn't dealt with it well. And in game, the last two games, Boston hasn't dealt with it well. Right, they gave him a 28-2 run game in game two. This game ended that third early fourth when they let the Bucks go up 17 as you know at on their home court. That's a team not.
it's one of those frustrating, inexplicable situations when you watch just how the Boston Celtics played in game one and then managed to just totally, you know, blow it in game two and then blow it in this game. And I'm thinking back on the third quarter and, like, the game was even competitive. I mean, it was competitive for the majority of that third quarter as well. There was just a period where, because the Bucks were in the penalty, the Celtics just kept sending them to the line and sending them to the line and sending them to the line, and that just kept the game right there. And then it was only a matter of time where, like, and it was late in that third quarter, and then it was just like you could just see it, the tsunami coming. They just started hitting them shots. And I remember thinking, like, you know, shit, the next one is going to come up. You know, they're up by 6 points. And I said, he's going to hit a three-pointer and cut it in half. And that's exactly what they did. And they didn't expect him to then hit the next three-pointer and tie the game. But it came so quickly because the game was level. The Celtics weren't getting to the line as frequently because that's just not their game. We'll just leave it at that. But they were hitting some shots there in the third quarter. It wasn't like they were like the third quarter was a complete bust throughout the entire quarter. They put up points in that quarter as well, something like 20-some-odd points in that third quarter themselves. 31. They didn't have like a – how many?
31.
How many? 31 points in any against any other team in any other quarter. I mean, unless the other team puts up 40 points, you know what I mean? Like, that's a 31-point quarter is, I mean, you have four 31-point quarters, you're going to have a 124-point, you know what I'm saying, a game. You know what I'm saying? That's enough to put up. And it was just at the end of that quarter, after the Bucks were, you know, stayed in that game by forcing the issue at the rim, by forcing the contact, by getting those free throws, then they just hit some very timely threes. They hit those shots, and, you know, that's what put the Bucks ahead, and the Boston Celtics couldn't, you know, come back from that. Even as they got it within a respectable, you know, margin at the end of the game, it still wasn't, you know, it just wasn't enough. And there's nothing I can say about this team talent-wise. I think it has to be some type of mental, emotional, you know, leadership type thing. Somebody's going to have to get in that huddle and, you know, say, you know, listen, guys, F this. We have to go out there. We don't have any more games to play. This is our last game. This might be the last game for Kyrie at, you know, TD Garden if we don't win, you know, game four. I mean, that's literally the situation the Boston Celtics and Boston Celtics fans are facing. By the way, was it just me, or did this crowd from beginning to end at TD Garden just not sound into the game? Like, I watched the Philadelphia game the night before, and it was like you could hear the roar through the TV, and I definitely don't listen to Philadelphia 76ers games that loud, but you could hear the crowd, you could feel the crowd and the energy. It felt like those old Oklahoma City Thunder games when Durant was still there, kind of like almost like a college atmosphere. The Boston has always had a fantastic atmosphere in playoff games, especially in games, must-win games. Like, I think this is, you know, as close to a must-win game, short of an elimination game, as it gets. And I just didn't really hear much from this crowd. So I think, you know, three things, and I'll just boil it down to three things. One, the TD Garden crowd has to get up off their ass and they have to do something. If I didn't live down here in Florida, I would be up there. I'd find a way to spend a couple hundred dollars on a playoff ticket, or a few hundred dollars. I don't know how much they cost, but I'd be in the nosebleeds, but you'd probably hear me down in the court, just making sure that I'm loud enough. The crowd has to be far more into this game from tip-off to the end, from even before that, from the team introductions, they have to be screaming. And number two, somebody has to take emotional control over this team and really put a fire under the ass and have them playing not like, you know, the cool guys that are on the blacktop outside, and then, you know, these nerdy white kids come up, and because they know how to, you know, play team ball instead of showboating, they end up winning the game. They have to be a team that plays with some heart, not just talent, not just potential, but actually has the heart and actually plays physically. And I think that's something they're missing, because, like you said, they're a finesse team. And number three, Brad Stevens, bro, if your team is coming out and playing shit third quarters every single game of the series, minus, you know, the first game, what are you doing at halftime? Give a freaking halftime speech, Brad Stevens. Do something. Get your team hyped up. Do something important. Do something that, you know, that get your team prepared to play in that third quarter that seems to be the Achilles heel of this team. Don't let them go out there and tank it. They almost had it tonight. They kept it competitive tonight until the very end. Brad Stevens, do something. I know that you're a young dude. I know that's not your style, but you're not the rah-rah, you know, Southern college football coach type dude that, you know, headbutts the stanchion or something like that. But please, Brad Stevens, you already have Kyrie. There's already cool as a cucumber, cooler than a polar bear's toenails. Oh, hell, there you go again. Brad Stevens, get a little bit of fire under your team's ass. Those three things. And this team might have a chance, but, you know, as good as I felt after game one and the chances the Celtics had in this series after game one's blowout win, that I feel just as bad, if not worse, after this loss tonight. This was deflating, and I think that this show, and the way that, you know, both of us have sounded, no callers on the call lines on the switchboard at all tonight, after we had about half a dozen after the previous game, should let you know that Celtics fans are not happy, and this is deflating. I think they're seeing the future, not just of the season, but, you know, possibly where this team is going. I don't know if this team is going to look the same after this season if the Boston Celtics
fans.
To touch on that, because I'm not really thinking about that yet, we'll see what happens this summer. We know it all depends on, like, the mood of Kyrie.
You're right.
Or whatever, like. I know, but I'll just say this. I love this. I said this even during the season. I was like, you know what? I love Kyrie. He's a great player. He's amazing. But just from the whole, like, just the mood of the whole season, now it's coming out how it's how much, like, you know, Brad had to talk to him. Brad Stevens had to talk to him about how his body language and his personality affected the whole team. And, like, even now, we need him to be a superstar, and he's not being a superstar. I'm not saying he's not a superstar, but let's be real. Last two games, you know, he's now, what, like 12 for 40 last two games. You know, he got outplayed by Eric Bledsoe in game two. And it's funny because all the talk was, Eric Bledsoe needs to make Kyrie work and negate him and keep his scoring down. And, you know, this would be, you know, Milwaukee has a great time. I thought this is Kyrie Irving. And we, you know, we saw him game one. This is Irving. So, this team, like, when he was out last year, it was so fun. And there was a certain purity about them, right? You know, I hate that sounds corny, but, like, you know, Jason Tatum.
No, you're 100% correct.
Right. So, like, the fact that, like, if Kyrie decides to leave, it sucks because, you know, they gave up rare assets for him. But, I mean, if he decides to leave, I tip my hat. I appreciate what he did. And I still, Jaylen Brown's great. Jason Tatum's great. They still got picks coming. They, you know, Al Horford's still amazing. Like, Gordon Hayward's still in a contract for two more years. Like, if Kyrie leaves.
Would you hold on again, Gordon Hayward? Just curious. If somebody offered you something decent for Gordon Hayward, would you dump that contract?
What's something decent, though? For that contract, like, you're not going to get a good return for Gordon Hayward right now, right? And so here's the thing. Right now you won't, but if he plays the way he and even plays up to kind of live that contract, then he's worth it, right? Because you'll still have a near all-star level player to go with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Al Horford. You're still a really, really, really good team. You see what I'm saying? This team this season has so many expectations. They definitely underachieved. And now we're seeing second round of the playoffs against the best team in the league, you know, record-wise. And with the MVP, I thought they had a really good chance. They still do. They have a good chance. If they win this next game, all bets are off, right? I think we're back. It's a three-game series. Yeah, so I'm not tripping really, but at the same time, we still have never seen this. We've seen spurts when they hit that high that we thought they could hit, but they haven't sustained it, and that's the disappointing point. So, if Kyrie decides to leave, I'm not that upset because as a fan of this team, sure, I'm disappointed by this season, but the young guys still have a lot of growing to do, and I think there's still a really high ceiling. Now, are they going to be a contender? Probably not. But are they just have pieces to make moves if they want to? But Kyrie leaving changes everything, right? The whole dynamic of everything changes, so.
Yeah.
So that's neither here nor there. Right now, we need to worry about game four. I think you pick your poison. Either you say, we're going to let Giannis go for 50 and we can't let anybody else get loose, or you say, you know, we're going to try to bottle up Giannis and make somebody else beat us. You can't do both. And today, it was kind of both, where Giannis got loose and the shooters made shots and they let guys off the bench go bonkers. So, yeah, it's tough because the Celtics bench was supposed to be a strength and it hasn't been a strength in this series.
No, the bench was dreadful, I think. But what, Hayward had a couple of points, like 6 points, something like that. I don't know.
He had 10 points on like 8 shots. He wasn't good. He only made 2 baskets. So all you can hope is that. So here's the thing, right? All season long we talked to, and we've kind of seen it, when they kind of have to, the Celtics kind of can like really dig deep and they can go next level. There's been, you know, full games, like they beat the Warriors, you know, they beat the full strength Warriors. So we know at the top of the game, this team can really, they're versatile, they're deep and they're connected, but they haven't been. So that all we can hope is that this is the wake up call they need. That's all we can hope.
Yep. And I think most of it is a mental thing. Cause this team certainly has the talent. This team certainly has the talent. There's no explanation. I think that's the only way that I can end this is, you know, on top of those things, somebody has to take, in the absence of Marcus Smart, somebody has to take the emotional reins of this team on the court. And Brad Stevens has to, you know, do the same, you know, with this team. He's a very cerebral guy. He likes to talk to his players. But there has to be something. If your team is coming out of halftime and blowing that quarter right out of halftime, there's something wrong going on there. Your team should be coming out, especially when it's a competitive game.
If Marcus Smart played this game, they win. Because Smart, they're missing that edge, man. They're missing right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Bledsoe drove into Gordon Hayward's chest and just like, you know, he almost knocked Marcus Morris over with a little elbow. Giannis is flinging himself around like as he should and drawing fouls. Like they're coming with like a little edge to him, and Marcus Smart gives the Celtics that same edge. Him and Marcus Morris together, you know, that they provide that toughness. And right now, Milwaukee is being the tougher team. You know, so
that's why I think a little more Aaron Baines might be something they could use. If they don't have Marcus Smart, you got to have somebody, and I think Aaron Baines is the only other guy that's going to be out there, you know, getting dirty and getting his hands dirty because he's definitely not a finesse player. So, I mean,
I'm curious as to what happened because you're right. He only played 2 minutes, and that he did that wing
three. He messed up his ankle before the season ended, and he was supposed to be out for several weeks, but we know how Aaron Baines is. He has that that Australian strength or something crazy going on with whatever it is because he came back like, you know, like a cyborg and has been playing, but I think he retweaked it. I've seen him, you know, have a couple of steps a couple of times throughout these playoffs where he's kind of looked like
game one he rolled it pretty bad. I remember he missed the rest of game one, right?
Yeah, yeah. So he's been nursing an injury, and I think that's why he got such limited minutes. But I think if he's able to go, and then you don't want to risk, you know, Baines. But then again, I mean, the Celtics don't have anything else to play for. They lose game four. I don't think they're coming back home from Milwaukee. I mean, as big of a fan as I am, I mean, especially if it's going to be a game like this game. But Brad Stevens, he put together about the perfect plan you can put together for the Bucks in game one. He's going to have to go right back to that drawing board and figure out what the tools that he has, with Aaron Baines, maybe not, I don't know. But I think your point, and I think that we both agree with that, is that, you know, if your leader is going to be a finesse guy like Kyrie Irving, he's going to be cool and always level and always, you know, level-headed, at least level emotionally on the court. If your coach is going to be the same way, you know, not very expressive emotionally, you got to have some guys that are out there that are physical to be like the yang to Kyrie's finesse ying, and you need guys that are out there that are going to be emotionally fiery. Marcus Morris can do it. He's one of those guys, but he can only be out on the court for a certain amount of time. You need another guy that's going to do that. Jaylen Brown wants to be that guy, but he's still feeling out his role in the league as a young man. I think you need an Aaron Baines type guy, if not a Marcus Smart, to come back and, you know, put something in there. I really think, if Marcus Smart's in this game, I don't think that third quarter gets out of control the way it is. I think the game is competitive throughout. And I don't know, he just can't come back fast enough. And the Boston Celtics have to make some adjustments. Somebody has to take emotional control. It's an emotional thing with this team now. Are they going to show some pride? Because if they make it a seven-game series and they lose, at least they did something. But if they curl up into the fetal position right now and they don't do anything else for the rest of the series, that's just embarrassing. And I think resetting for a Boston fan base that was expecting, you know, a championship or to contend for a championship, to then have Kyrie Irving walk and then go back to being like, you know, a middle-of-the-pack Eastern Conference team, which is what they were this year with Kyrie. So I don't know, maybe that's not even a big difference. But, you know, a sixth seed or a fifth seed, that's going to be disappointing. It's going to be a hard thing to swallow, you know, regardless. I mean, if the Boston Celtics don't make it, regardless of whether Kyrie goes or stays, it's going to be a hard pill to swallow if the Celtics don't make it out of this round. And it's not looking like they're going to right now.
I mean, it's like I'm not too shocked, right? Because, I mean, we all thought beginning of season, hey, number one seed the East or top two seed, and they weren't. They've underachieved all season. So if you lose to the number one seed, the season was a disappointment. This to me was like completely unexpected. Game one gave me some hope, you know, and that's the thing with the Celtics. Their ceiling is really high, but they seem like they can't reach that ceiling all the time, you know. When they're all clicking, or, you know, most of them are clicking, they're great. They can go toe to toe with anybody. They just don't bring that level. It's almost like that student in high school that we all knew, smart as a whip, engaging, but he just kind of, not saying like they don't care, because they care for whatever reason, the chemistry's off. But yeah, for whatever reason, like he kind of sat in the back, didn't do his homework, half-assed it through tests, and he just didn't really try doing it. That's what the Celtics kind of remind me of, right? All the talent in the world, and they just never put it together. So I guess, you know, we have a phone call there. Maybe he just wants to listen. Should we answer this call?
Yeah, he's a listener. That's 413. He listens. I recognize the area code.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks for listening, my man. We appreciate you. So, I mean, you got anything else?
No, I just want to see a Celtics win. What do you know? I guess I don't know if you know if you follow other Boston sports. I was wondering when the next Bruins game was. I want to see somebody win from Boston. I don't know. The Red Sox aren't doing so well this season. Obviously, it's off season for football, but I like, you know, I'm not a big hockey dude during the regular season. I just can't get into it. But there's something about playoff hockey, and I mean, my family's from South America. We don't know what the hell hockey is, but you know, you start watching it when the Bruins are a historic team like they are now, and I was just hoping that there's a game that it's not staggered as such the way that it was last series where they had the Bruins and the Celtics playing on the same night. That was just terrible. They need to have, one night on, one night off for each one, so I can watch them both on different games. So I'm interested right now in the Bruins. I think they play next, and Celtics have to win Game 4. Another must-win game. Don't win Game 4, it's over. And if they don't win Game 4, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to predict anyway that the NBA wants to see a Milwaukee-Philadelphia Eastern Conference final so that they can showcase their young talent and their Ben Simmons and their Joel Embiid and their MVP. And it's a lock. You can bet on it. The Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be the MVP. That's what they want to see.
I give you a little more credence if, you know, Kyrie hasn't been 12 for 40 in the last two games and Jason Tatum didn't come into tonight's game averaging 4 points a game, you know. So it's hard for me to – sure, do we like the calls? No. Do we feel like, you know, maybe the refs might be protecting Giannis a little bit? Maybe. I watched this whole game and, hey, he was driving and those were fouls, man. We don't have to like it. They're fouls. Like, you know, does he get away with a couple of travels? Absolutely. Most stars do, though. But, yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, tonight I thought was the pivotal game. And I got to put it on air since I said to myself, I didn't say it or tweet it, but I said to whoever wins tonight's game is going to win the series. And right now all the momentum is in Milwaukee's favor. The last two games, I watched their confidence grow throughout the game, right? Even your boy Eric Bledsoe. Now, last season, if Eric Bledsoe had a bad game, he'd be bad all game, right? Game one, terrible all game. Game two, he got his confidence going, so he was rolling. This game started off terribly. Then he made some really nice plays down the stretch. Still didn't make. He can't shoot for anything, but you know, the last drive on Jaylen Brown, through the zone, basically, he got to the rim and he scored over Jaylen. That to me was another backbreaking play, right? They seemed like they were trying to, you know, get a miracle Boston finish. So, that's Nick Cicenso. I'm James Holis. Nick, where can they follow you at?
Man, I'm not really active on the Celtics Twitter or whatever else. You want to check it out? I do admin a fairly large Boston Celtics fan group on Facebook. I don't know why I still do the Facebook thing, but check me out. Boston Celtics Bleed Green is 90,000 members. Largest Boston Celtics fan group on Facebook. So if you want to come check me out, I'm occasionally in there. Sometimes I can't read what the fans write because they're fans and they act certain ways, you know. So they just depress me even more than I already am. So, but I do run the group. It's my creation. I built it to 90,000 people. Somebody should give me an award. But yeah, Boston Celtics Bleed Green. Check it out on Facebook. I'm not active on Twitter, Instagram like that. I just lurk. But other than that, yeah, check me out there. It's fun working with you, James, as always. Even on a bad night like tonight when the Celtics get their ass kicked, it's always a pleasure.
Pleasure, my man, and you guys, thank you for listening to the Celtics post game where the Celtics drop a disappointing one. Game 4 is on Monday at 4 p.m. EST, or I guess PST. So tune in and go Celtics.